Hey everyone, and welcome back to Purple Row Radio. This edition is for Friday, March the 16th, 2012. My name is Greg Stanwood. I am a staff writer at PurpleRow.com, and I'm here along, as always, with the managing editor of Purple Row, Andrew Martin. Andrew, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing well. I can't believe it's only Wednesday. I feel like 2 weeks have gone by in the last 3 days. Just slammed at work. Holy smokes.
Yeah, I have a really busy week as well. I'm now working like four jobs, kind of. It depends on your definition of what a job is. But anyway, also along today is Paul Agnello. Paul, what's going on?
I have nothing interesting or clever to say, so I'm just going to say hello.
Hello.
Paul also has no title, if you may have noticed.
Yeah, I used to rotate titles for Andrew, but like I should come up with an inventive title for you every week and see.
Yeah. I was a potentate at some point then, I'm pretty sure.
Wait, I missed that. What'd you say?
Didn't you dub me a potentate at some point?
Maybe. I used some pretty bizarre language there. I was thinking I would just call Paul the Space Pope or something.
Space Pope.
But I don't know.
Space Pope. Is the Space Pope reptilian? Hey guys, we're making Futurama jokes. We're supposed to be talking about baseball. What's going on here? This is just ridiculous.
There's some baseball themed Futurama episodes.
Yeah, the one like the Burnsball episode where you meet Hank Aaron with like Hank Aaron like the 10th or something like that, and he's worst baseball player as well as the worst football player ever.
And he's in the Hall of Fame for being the worst baseball player or something.
Hey, look at it this way. At least you're still the worst football player ever. Yeah. Yeah. And that made me laugh.
All right. Excellent. Excellent summary.
I love the concept of, like, the worst baseball player ever. When people try to point out who the worst guy ever is, everybody had some schmo who came up for half a season, played second base, and sucked. Namely, everybody who's ever played for the Rockies. But how do you really quantify the worst? But not quantify might not even be the right word. Like, there has to be some, like, baseline of what makes someone, you know, qualify for an ever of anything. Like, you know, tallest ever, shortest ever. Well, actually,
apparently, height
and...
Apparently, worst baseball player ever is Brandon Wood.
I was going to say Nathan Perez, but that was a brilliant segue.
That was, and unfortunately, I was halfway into trying to look up who the worst baseball player ever was, and then I got to FanGraphs, and I realized that there's no way I could possibly figure that out. So
it's Nathan Perez.
Oh, okay.
I'm looking this up. Let's start talking about Brandon Wood while I'm looking this up.
The worst WAR is Bill Bergen, who in his 947 game career has a -15 wins above replacement.
Okay, how far off is Nafy? And don't tell me he's not there, because he's so there.
He's not on the first 30 people.
Oh, really? I could have sworn he was maybe? Well, I love the number of people on this, like, all-time worst WAR list who, this is off, like, 1,000 plate appearances, or minimum, let's see. Let's make sure that they have like a zillion plate appearances in their name, like 5,000 plate appearances. You gotta have 5,000 plate appearances.
Okay, see, I had zero minimum plate appearances.
Oh yeah, see, that's gonna pull out like all, I mean, obviously to have that low of a WAR, you have to have played really bad for quite a while. Come on, Fangraphs, you're being slow. Get pissed. Alright, so Babe Ruth, as expected, remains the best player ever, because he was the best player ever. But as far as players with 5,000 plate appearances or more, which is a major league career, I mean, at least that, you know? Worst player ever is Cub Stricker, -2.6 Fangraphs WAR. Then following him is Tommy Dowd, -2.1. And then, Nafy Perez, -0.6. And I didn't just make that up or like, oh, let's pick this arbitrary number that happens to be Nafy Perez's number. I figure 5,000 is legit.
All right, so let's segue back to Brandon Wood then.
Worst prospect ever.
Well, I guess we'll see if that holds up at this point, because he has been one of the most interesting stories, if you can call it that, at this point so far, a week and a half into spring training, especially since the third base picture is looking a little bit more cloudy than it was before, and it was already pretty cloudy. So I guess what we want to do here is just talk about whether or not we think Brandon Wood has any real chance of making this team, and whether or not it's going to end up being some sort of vindication for all of the hype that he got over the first 2 or 3 years of his career before he kind of hit a wall in Anaheim. So, Andrew, do you think he is going to have a reasonable shot at making the team?
Well, I think we need to kind of – there's a bit of background going on here, too. We got, Brandon Wood is a disappointment on – I don't want to say Ian Stewart level, but because I never really heard much problem with his work ethic and personal things. But, like, he could just – it was one of those tragic cases of a guy who has, like, you know, five-tool, top-of-the-game potentials and just cannot get out of AAA baseball. See, what when Carney Lansford and Jim Tracy went and met with Brandon Wood this offseason, did some offseason work, talking about his swing, talking about his game in general, they basically caught a hitch in his swing, which it seems kind of silly to put it like that. It's like a doctor finding out something at MRI. Oh, there's a hitch in your swing. I mean, how it's not like the major league coaches who've been watching him have just been like, oh, nah, he's fine. Nah, he sucks, but he's fine. Don't worry. We'll just go over here and, you know, watch Mice Arister, you know, get dirt in his jersey. But how do you just find a hitch in the swing? It's this isn't treasure. It's not like a map or it's like, oh, we're the most – whatever it is, they said they found a hitch in this guy's swing.
A treasure map to Brandon Wood's problems.
Exactly.
They decoded Brandon Wood and found the hitch. They
had a crystal skull at the same time. It was a terrible movie. Seriously, I'm pretty sure that was like in the treasure chest next to it.
It's interesting though, because that's like the same type of story that you hear though about like Jose Bautista or Nelson Cruz, right? Where they, or even to a lesser extent Matt Holliday or Troy Tulowitzki, right? Where they add like a leg kick or they open up their stance and now all of a sudden they're amazing.
Yeah, world beaters. They go from being that guy who's he's definitely pretty good. Yeah, Mark Ellis, essentially speaking.
Well, no, so I mean, you know, don't joke about them solving the hitch riddle, man. It's a big question.
Let me rephrase it. Okay, never mind. I was going to take a cheap Jim Tracy shot, but there's really no need.
I was going to bring up performance-enhancing drugs, but no.
God, PEDs is just the laziest excuse for anything. This guy's doing better than expected. Drugs. What?
That was basically everything that was said about Jose Bautista for 3 months. Yeah.
No, seriously. I want to find a guy who's having an abnormal slump and be like, drugs. He's clearly on a performance-enhancing drugs.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, he's taking drugs to lessen his game a little bit.
Yeah, he's been taking PDDs.
He's just doing it wrong. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Injecting it into someone else.
Yeah. Injected into his hat. I don't know. Yeah.
His bat's all sloshing around. Man, I paid a lot of money for this. You need the appropriate drug coach.
In conclusion, Brandon Wood makes the team.
Only if he's on drugs that he's not injecting into his hat.
He's there in his glove. Oh, God. But seriously, no, Paul does bring a good point in pointing out the Bautistas and the Nelson Cruzes of the world, the Johan Santanas, the guys who just finally randomly figure it out and meet their ceiling. And maybe, you know, I don't know, we haven't had any gigantic breakouts with guys on the team. I mean, you did mention Tulowitzki, but he was already good. Yeah. We haven't had that, like, failed prospect breakout yet because somebody caught a thing with a thing. So it's kind of interesting to see where this goes with Wood. Maybe his .368 batting average in the spring is legit. And it's not like he's coming into the seventh inning against, you know, the freaking A-ball guys and, you know, just get hitting the crap out of them. There's probably a good chance that he's getting this against the MLB starters, who, granted, are not at 100% effectiveness either. I mean, Brandon Wood's not either. It's spring training for everyone, remember? So there could be something to it. Maybe he is just figuring out how to pull a ball or something. I don't know.
Well, I think one of the main reasons for me that suddenly all this attention is being placed on Brandon Wood. I mean, we've had people on the blog, several of us, who have been stating that we shouldn't forget. I mean, he was one of the first early signings of the offseason, minor league contract, kind of under the radar. Everybody, I think, kind of wants to forget about being so excited about Brandon Wood. But now we have an issue where Casey Blake is being held back in his playtime due to a sore neck or something like that? I can't remember exactly what happened. He was scheduled for a start. He was pulled, and he hasn't played since.
He had neck surgery this offseason, and Apparently he just slept on it funny, but it's been, what, two games now that he slept on it funny?
And we had a doubleheader today, and he played in neither game.
Yeah.
So they're still clearly being overly cautious when they were already being overly cautious. And, I mean, if anything gets a little sore, they're going to, during spring training, they're going to be extra conservative with your development. They don't want to accidentally make something worse later on. And so I guess we don't really know the extent of the concern that they have with Blake, but I know that he was an injury concern going into the season, and this is one of many reasons that we signed him to a non-guaranteed deal. And now that we have Blake sort of on the sidelines right now, and then Arenado is, I guess, not having a terrible spring, but he doesn't look all that great, particularly ready to be shot to the majors right now. So, you know, an opportunity opens for someone like Brandon Wood, who, you know, might benefit from having a couple of other players lose some stock a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, he's hitting for good power this spring, which is always good to see. Surprisingly, though, no home runs. He's gotten two doubles and two triples. And, yes, small sample and other things like that, seeing how it's just spring training. That's a huge slugging percentage right there in his 19 at-bats. He's batting 368, and he hasn't taken a walk or gotten hit yet, so 368 on base as well, and a 684 slugging. And, you know, that the whole not walking at all is kind of one of those things that makes you raise an eyebrow. But, again, small sample, all that. It'll be interesting to see if these numbers hold up. Not hold up, but, you know, don't drop 200 points.
Those are like Jeff Baker 2006 numbers.
Exactly, that September call-up of death and destruction.
Yeah, he had a slugging of, like, 890 or something like that for like 3 weeks. It was absurd. Speaking of home runs, the Rockies haven't hit very many home runs in spring, but it's one more now. Carlos Gonzalez just hit a 3-run home run.
Nice. They've been interestingly batting this year, and I don't know what to make of it. I don't know whether it's just more, you know, almost guy. Well, the almost guys are the ones hitting the crap out of the ball. I don't know if it's just that Scudero and Casey Blake are old or what the deal is, but we have not been hitting the ball. And again, you don't want to worry too much about it because it's whatever, but... Well, that's about all I had to say about that.
I wonder if it's like the equivalent to that weird experiment they did in like 2008 where Clint Hurdle was like, okay, don't swing at any first pitches ever for any reason.
Mm.
And that was bizarre. It's like,
I remember that season.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you do. It was only 4 years ago.
Yeah, that's a long time, man.
It's a long time in baseball years.
It's hard. I can't remember.
That's 120 years ago when you consider that every team has a year.
It's 120 years in baseball years.
Well, think about it. Doesn't that make sense, right, Paul?
Yes, absolutely, forever.
Okay. I'm saying you remember 30 seasons from 30 teams. You remember, like, oh, that team was good that year, that team was good that year. It's a lot more years to remember, I'm just saying.
I don't think of seasons that way. One season is 30 teams worth of information.
Well, fine, be that way.
Stop fighting.
Man, I hope Casey Blake's not like a big money wasting mistake. That would be awful.
Well, how can he be? It's a non-guaranteed deal.
He shows signs of life like the last week of spring training and breaks himself like on the dugout steps the first day of the season and isn't back.
Kind of like what Greg Reynolds would do.
Uh-huh. Or Dustin Moore.
That's a Mo Vaughn move, I believe.
Or Kendrick Morales, if you want to be mean.
At least he did it hitting a home run. Didn't Mo Vaughn, like, break an ankle on, like, the first, like, game of the season or something?
That sounds kind of familiar.
He did something like that.
Now, I'm thinking of that time that Milton Bradley got hurt being held back by Bud Black.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Well, because, like, the game before, or maybe it was that game, he broke Mike Cameron's hand by stepping on it because he's incompetent, and, it's like, wow, like Milton Bradley single-handedly took the Padres out of the playoffs by, one, killing Mike Cameron, and two, breaking himself and taking himself out of the lineup because he's kind of good, or was.
Was, for a little bit.
He was really good at the Rangers.
Yeah, that's my only memory of Milton Bradley with the Rangers is him sliding around on the tarp in the rain.
Sounds about right.
Paul, talk about Brandon Wood.
So, Brandon Wood, yes, sir. I think this is exactly the type of player the Rockies should be taking chances on, right? Because I kind of, you know, I really love the idea of these, like, lotto ticket type guys. And you know, like we said before, he had a really strong track record in the minors. you know, I don't know what to expect from him, but it's possible that there's some sort of mechanical adjustment or something that leads to him really improving his game. But if not, it really doesn't cost us anything. And, you know, I mean, maybe he makes an adjustment and isn't, you know, a superstar, but he could trim his strikeout rate and maybe be valuable and be a good, like, trade chip or something if Arenado's really, you know, knocking down the door or something like that, so.
Mm-hmm. If he does end up making the team, he'll be under team control through 2014. So it certainly would be sort of an interference with Arenado's progress if he were to suddenly, you know, break out and become valuable in that sense. But in this particular situation, if we do see Casey Blake continue to struggle this spring and have a difficult time either getting healthy or just finding a swing, I think Brandon Wood can actually make you could certainly do worse. And hopefully Brandon Wood doesn't hear me say that because he's been pretty bad.
And I mean, I think that brings up another point too, that he was a shortstop in the minors. I don't really know what his how his defense really rates out at shortstop, but I think he's, you know, competent at third. But I mean, in some sort of like miracle scenario here where he has a breakthrough and becomes a valuable player, he could be a second baseman, right? We only have Scudero for a year. You know, he could be a second baseman. He could probably spend time at first base if need be. So if he becomes a productive major leaguer, I know I said before that we could trade him. We have a lot of options with him because, unfortunately, we are not a perfect team and have holes. So I think, you know, like I said, this is a great move on our part.
Andrew fell asleep, didn't he?
Andrew! Maybe his internet went out.
He's still connected
to
the call.
No, there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
For Pete's sake, my thing was muted. I couldn't get it to unmute. I'm sitting there smashing the button. And I'm like, why aren't they listening? I don't talk over me, Greg, you jerk. Wait. I'm trying to... Oh. Brandon Wood is all upside is what I was trying to say there. Brandon Wood is all upside because what's the worst thing that happens? Oh, no, he didn't make it. Bummer. I mean, we can put Nelson there just as easily, and that's kind of what's great about these kind of signings, the former prospect signings. There's one other guy to think about, too. That's Brennan Harris. He could be also in line maybe to take some reps at third base, maybe to just be the general utility infield guy, which, will also depend on Casey Blake. He's been having a strong spring himself, 353, 353, 412.
Harris?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't thought much about Brendan Harris, actually. We did sign several players named either Brandon or Brendan in this offseason. I don't think it'll compete with Josh for the team lead.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had something I was going to say, but Andrew's microphone shenanigans have made me forget.
Does being Josh make you a baseball player? Does being a baseball player make you named Josh? Do the parents just see it in you, or do they imbibe you with the baseball ability because your name is Josh?
Well, is Josh all that common of a baseball name anyway? Because I've only noticed it really in our system. But then again, I don't follow the systems of other teams quite as closely.
Maybe it's just the Rockies. It's part of their scouting analysis.
I mean, like, with Matt, Matts are everywhere. But I don't see Josh's everywhere.
That's because you might not
we're
see
playing against Josh Kallmenter.
That's a good point. We are indeed. Are there any other Joshes in the Diamondbacks lineup right now? Because if so, I look like an idiot. Adam, Ryan, Jason, okay. Chris, Paul, Cody, Conrad, John, and Josh. Okay, so close, but
you forgot about Miguel.
Wait, what? There's a
that's clearly a Josh right there. Miguel Josh Montero.
But he's not in the lineup right now.
Oh, you mean playing right now? I thought you meant just in the Diamondbacks opening day lineup. I'm like, you're all people.
Yeah.
Like, right, you didn't even mention Miguel Montero. What the hell is wrong with you?
Well, I also would have forgotten Justin Upton, and yeah. That
that was really confusing.
Josh Fogg. Boom. There
oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say, you never see that many Joshes because there is also Josh Fogg.
I think I already told the Josh Fogg story on this podcast, I think. So, I know I told Andrew at some point. I almost ran into Josh Fogg at a golf course. And the only reason-
No way.
the
you almost run into something.
You don't, I'm surprised you don't remember this. You had the same reaction when I told you this before. I found one of those luggage tags that they stick on golf clubs when you travel with them on an airplane in a golf cart, and the name on it was Josh Fogg. I still have it. It's in a drawer somewhere.
I almost ran into it. I just picture like you're all walking toward each other in the street, and you're just like, is that you? No.
I should also probably point out that I was actually working at the golf course at the time.
Like a car hits right before you meet him.
He fell down a sewer. There was an open manhole.
See, I actually stand there as the golf carts come in, and I had left the post to pick up the chipping green or something, and then I came back, and there was a cart there with Josh Fogg's golf club tag in it. It was pretty exciting.
Greg, rule number one of working at a golf course, never leave your post. just don't do it.
By the way, depending
on you, man.
We actually only have 7 Joshes on the team in the organization now. It was up to like 11 last year when we had Josh Fields and all those Joshes.
Oh yeah. Did the name Josh hurt you in the past, Greg? Is that why you're keeping such a close eye on him?
No, I thought it was relevant. I'm sorry. No, several of these Joshes are actually in camp. Josh Outman, Josh Renicky, Josh Sullivan. Josh Rutledge was not invited, surprisingly. Everybody should go to RockiesRoster.com and use the search feature if you want to know how many players with a name in the organization. We only have 4 mats now.
How sad.
Yep.
Matt Daly's with the Yankees.
Yes.
Wait, is that the only one we lost?
Yes, and Matt Lindstrom.
You got McBride.
Yes, right? We did. That is,
We gained Matt.
gained one after losing 5.
Wow, we're just kind of rambling now, aren't we?
It's spring training.
For everyone.
I said that to someone the other day and they had no idea what I was talking about. I'm like, okay. Because you ever find that you're like about to explain something you say is funny, like be like, ah, flex that, and someone be like, what? And I think if the first words out of my mouth are going to be, well, you see on the internet, no, I probably just need to not say because it won't be funny.
You're just like, I'm going to sound like a complete loser if I explain this.
Yeah, exactly. Well, just weird. That's all.
Yeah, just ignore me. Just don't worry about it.
Maybe we should didn't we have 2 other topics or something like that?
Well, we had at least one. We were going to talk a little bit about the 5th starter position.
Paul, who wins at number 5?
You put me on the spot. White.
Greg, who wins at number 5?
Probably Tyler Chatwood.
You think Chatwood? I'm going with Moyer. I'm sticking with Moyer. So there you have it, folks. No consensus on anything.
Well, yeah, and there shouldn't be at this point, which obviously I guess is the joke. But, I mean, I think most people were leaning towards Moscoso early on, and
I blame Rank for that.
Oh, really?
He was someone asked him in one of the mailbags or something like that. You know, what's your projected 5? And he projected Moscoso winning the 5.
I didn't see that. I actually had come to the same conclusion on my own. I wasn't quite as convinced as some people were that Nicasio and Pomeranz were going to be the favorites for the 3 and 4, but by this point, they obviously are.
Yeah.
I think there were also some other, Fangraphs or whatever other sites also kind of kept listing Moscoso as the 5th starter, so it just kind of spread out of nowhere.
Well, why do you think Chatwood? I mean, I always feel like he's, the least developed of the group, except for Meg Friedrich, out of guys who have or are right on the cusp of major league innings.
Well, just totally off the cuff, I was going to say that only he and Moyer have had really good spring so far. At least they're the only ones who have had only good news coming out about them, and of the two, Chatwood's on the roster. So that was really my, surface-level analysis of that situation.
Well, that's logical.
So, let's see. Yep, Yahoo has Moscoso as well. They have Chacin, Nicasio, Guthrie, Moscoso, Pomeranz. Oh, Drew Pomeranz! And the bullpen is Betancourt, Belisle, Reynolds, Escalona, Rogers, Renicky, Outman.
Wait, somebody's missing. Is Matt, did you say Matt Belisle?
Yeah.
Did you say Rex Brothers?
Yeah, he's missing.
Okay.
This is Yahoo's. I don't know what they're, how do you not put Rex Brothers in there? I can't email someone now and be like, oh, no, nothing about nothing.
Yeah, that reminds me of those, the, the MLB depth charts are not any better. And I think back to that time when the Oakland Athletics had the same guy in every outfield position.
Ryan Sweeney?
Yeah, that was it.
He's just that good.
Didn't we talk last week about having two outfielders and five infielders?
It was Charlie Blackmon. It was only Charlie Blackmon. Right, that's what I said.
Holy crap, MLB.com still has has Eliezer Alfonso as the fourth catcher on the, you know, in order.
Well, he is still on the roster.
Yeah, I thought he was, do we have to keep him on a roster because he's suspended or
no,
what?
No, we don't. I think what the team is doing, at least this is what the only thing that I can assume they're doing, is they're letting him serve the suspension, on their roster, and then they'll let him go after that. So he can actually sign with the team and play, as opposed to let him go into free agency and then have him have to find a team that's going to, have to have him serve some of that suspension. He has quite a bit to go. He has to serve 4 months or so, maybe a little bit less. He served about 20 or 22 days of a 100-game suspension.
Yeah.
So
he's got 80 games is putting him just around, middle of June, All-Star game time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because you know how people always say when your stud player is, when he's on the DL, it's like, oh, it's like we're getting, you know, a big trade deadline acquisition without having to give anyone up. With Alfonso, it's like, oh, we traded for someone terrible.
Well, and I mean, I obviously can't say for sure that we're, going to be, that the intention is to release him at that point because once the suspension is up, they have to add him back to the 40-man roster anyway. So I guess it's possible that they, you know, consider whether or not, like, if we're in June and, like, Willian Rosario is failing and we don't have Will Nieves anymore or something like that, maybe we'll actually end up keeping him adding him in July again for cleanup hitting duty.
Let me throw this out here. What if we looked at Pudge to, like, platoon with Hernandez if Rosario really looks not ready? Huh?
I'd like it.
Pudge? Uh-huh. Yeah.
I'm down. Yeah. Yo, Pudge and Jamie Moyer?
Oh yeah, no, it'd be amazing.
You'd have the oldest, you'd have like 90 something years of, baseball experience.
right?
Yeah, about that, right?
Well, unless they've been playing baseball for their entire lives, I don't think they have 90 years of Major League Baseball.
Combined? Well, but yeah, sorry, that's their age, yeah, sorry. Well,
yeah,
alright, that's technicality.
It was a funny idea, Paul, it was a funny idea. I saw where you were going.
It totally went over my head.
We'd have 90 years of baseball player. There
we go. It's like we're talking about like aged beef jerky or something like that. Oh yes, it's a fine 90-year-old baseball player.
Yeah, I'm going to be cutting out half of this podcast.
What? We've had some laughs, Craig. We've lived.
We've had some laughs and some not so many.
We've grown as people.
In a baseball update, Juan Nicasio has thrown 4 strikes for every 1 ball he's thrown so far.
What is your source of that information?
the source that we're not supposed to use, but
right.
But didn't they start updating it though?
Yeah, they started updating pitch counts, just not necessarily on the graphic.
That they've only been doing that in certain stadiums, and I don't know if ours is one of them. Yeah, it's not. Every single one of the ones at Salt River Field so far is still.
But wait, if you said 18 strikes to 4 balls, you said?
16 strikes to 4 balls.
That means he has 1 walk.
The ball's in play and maybe a strikeout.
I don't know what to make of it because on the plot, yeah, it's completely bogus. But they keep actually updating the pitch count underneath the pitchers, and you'll see like numbers that don't divide easily, right? Like otherwise,
yeah.
It'd always have to be 4 balls or 8 balls or 12 balls, but
mm-hmm.
You'll see 7 balls or something. So at that point, I don't know what to make of it, but I'm going by it, man. I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's still totally wrong. He has 3 strikeouts and 1 walk, so 12.
Okay, so 3 strikeouts. How many hits?
1.
1 hit.
How many innings has it been?
He has thrown 2 innings.
So 6 batters? Or not 6 batters, 6 outs? Or are we 2 innings and he's about to start another one?
Okay, no, that's actually perfect, right? Because it's 3 strikeouts, that's 9 pitches, plus 6 outs, and then 1 hit. At 16.
Damn it.
See? It's math.
I hear the jury's still out on it, though.
Purple Road jokes. All right, guys, let's go. We're gonna,
okay.
They're gonna hate us because we're taking too long.
This will be 15 minutes shorter. Maybe more. We'll see. We'll see how much time I have to edit tomorrow night.
I'm glad it ends, though, with a feeble attempt to talk about something that's actually baseball-related and just is completely incorrect. That's a perfect ending to a perfect podcast.
That part I'm leaving in. Okay, we will be back if we have anything to talk about, that is, next week, next Friday the 23rd. You know what? I'm just going to stop saying that because last time I just edited it out and then we ended up doing it anyway. We will be back sometime in the future, possibly next Friday, possibly the Friday after that, possibly never again, maybe. I'll leave it at that. Take care.